Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Quizmaster Lee, and I'm here by your other host, Quizmaster Mark.
He's right next to me.
Yep.
It feels good.
Cross, really. Sitting across from each other.
Crisscross.
I wish we had
applesauce.
A for real studio, you know?
Well, one day,
yeah,
if we get enough Patreon.
It's a little home studio, but I just want like a pure blackout room.
Ooh.
Where we're just sitting at a table. You know,
lights only illuminated by laptops,
like on Crossfire from CNN. If you remember that show back in
the day,
I remember watching. That was the first political show I ever watched as a little tyke.
Aww.
CNN's Crossfire. And I always wanted them to have an actual game of the board game Crossfire in the center. And they would go, all right, now that we're done talking about the budget deficit, Crossfire. You'll get caught up in the Crossfire.
That's good.
You remember that song?
Yeah.
Yeah. How's your week been, man?
You know what? It's been good.
Yeah.
It's been a good week.
Cool.
Yeah.
I had two sidecars while I was in Orlando based on our question from last week.
Mixed or stirred?
They were shaken. They were clearly shaken.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Shaken.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because they had little bubbles in them. I witnessed one shaking. The other, I was seated at a table away from the bar. So I just had to use my judgment there. But it was the first place that I went, which was at Rue Steak. In Orlando, amazing sidecar. It was delicious, and I was like, "Oh man, I'm gonna put this in my regular drink rotation now." And then the second place, which I wasn't going to name, but I can't even remember the name of it off the top of my head. This thing I should have known instantly when our waitress was like, "What's a sidecar? I've never heard of that before." And Kyle said, "Oh, the bartender will know how to make it. Just write, you know, it's fine." And then it came back, and it tasted totally different than the first one. Like it was way more citrusy.
Hmm. What is in it?
cognac, orange juice, and a little lime juice, and something sweet.
That sounds good.
Something sweet, I think, is the last one.
Maybe triple sec.
We're going to get a miscorrection on this, but
yeah.
Rue Steak, congratulations on your fabulous shaken sidecar.
And fuck that other place.
Shame on you to the second place. they did have a good banh mi, though. So I thought we could kick things off here with a missed correction, actually.
Here it is. It's a cognac, orange liqueur, and lemon juice. That's all it says. But the orange liqueur, it's not orange juice. It's
right.
Orange liqueur. It's like triple sec. Like I said, triple sec.
I think that's what happened maybe with the second one is they used orange juice and maybe like a simple syrup instead of, orange liqueur. That's now gotcha. That I'm thinking about the coloring and the consistency of it. It was like, whoa.
What's happened?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's do that miscorrection.
Okay.
Miscorrection.
Okay, this correction comes to us from Mike E. Writes simply, correction. Which state has the fewest counties? It's technically Louisiana.
Because they don't have counties, but come on. You know what I meant.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Parishes are basically counties.
Basically, I thought this was a great question, but I'm reducing my question rating on it from an A to an A minus.
Okay,
because this is you know a technicality right here.
Yep,
it could be improved by maybe saying you know of states that have counties or excluding Louisiana who has parishes, not counties. You could add that and I think make it perfect question.
Yeah.
It's a good question, but this I think is an interesting point.
Constantine of the band Electric Mud.
Shout out to them playing South by Southwest right now.
Absolutely. Last
look them
night.
Up. Look them up. The Electric Mud.
He messages me in the middle of the night and he just wrote, "Hey man, what the fuck?" is the message I got from him. And then he said, "Louisiana has zero counties." And I said, "Oh, you know what I mean." And he said, "They got parishes. You got me and Peter looking dumb in front of our friends in the band."
Wow. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So he was pretty angry.
And Mike E. picked up on it too here.
Yeah. So, you know, I had no one write down Louisiana out of my trivia. And to be fair to myself, when I did the trivia live at Nice Guys, I said something along the lines of like, not, you know, this is, we're talking about counties or county-esque things, because parishes are...
Well, parishes are county-esque.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I had put that disclaimer there, okay. But when I did it here, I did not.
But let's just play devil's advocate. In a similar situation, what would you do if somebody came up and presented a technically correct answer based on a similar format where you didn't, you know, maybe specify a constraint or something like that?
Well, I would do one of two things. Like, normally I would, depending on the situation, I guess, at the very worst, I would not give them a point or give them any points. I would say if you wanted clarification, you should have asked for it beforehand. Mm-hmm. If someone does come up and ask, you know, well, are you talking specifically about counties called counties, like that kind of thing, then I'll clarify.
Yeah,
I will go, all right, everybody, stop what you're doing. Listen, I'm making a clarification. Mm-hmm. I am not talking about Louisiana. I'll even mention Louisiana specifically. I'll be like, what, you know, because it's hard enough, even if you take fucking Louisiana out of it.
Yeah.
You know, so I would just make it a point to make a clear, you know, a clarification saying we're not counting that. We're talking about counties, not parishes.
Would you ever go so far as to take a prize out of a team's hand because of an error that you made? Have you ever been in that situation?
I have,
where
yeah.
You've had to say, I'm sorry, you know, the way that I read that was messed up, and new information has come to light, man.
I've had it worse. I've had it where I've read team's scores and gave the wrong team the prize, not realizing that someone had more points.
Ooh.
Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, I've had it all in my 4 years. I've fucked up a number of ways.
Yeah. So, sure. So what advice would you give to somebody if they're in that situation?
Be apologetic.
Mm-hmm.
Be humble.
Yep.
You know,
sincere.
Be sincere. I buy them around.
Yeah. I think that's
do something, you know, do something to thank them and to apologize.
Some
and
kind
remember.
Of small consolation prize.
Yeah. Because, you know, again, people are there, you know, to win, but people are also there to have fun.
Yeah.
And it's no fun having, you know, having someone give you something and then take it away.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know that you are the one in the wrong, then the least you can do is help make it right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been in that situation where I said, oh, so-and-so wins. And then someone comes up and says, it's like, oh, okay. Now, luckily, most of the times where I have gotten where I've asked a question, like, there was a question like, where's Mount Vernon?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer I was looking for was Washington, D.C., or like Maryland or Washington, D.C., or something like that, wherever George Washington was born. But there's also one in New York. So someone was like,
that's right. Okay. I think Seth knew that.
Yeah. It's like,
I
don't know. Oh, well,
yeah. I vaguely remember this.
There's
before.
This one in New York. And I was like, yeah, you're right. But luckily, the point difference didn't change anything.
That can help. If it doesn't make a difference, you can always lean back on that. But sometimes, yeah, you got to be just apologetic and, you know, like you said, offering up some kind of small consolation prize in that scenario, I think is good because everybody is there to have fun. And ultimately, you know, it can affect your player retention if you have like a you know, somebody's, you're going to disappoint somebody by taking a prize out of their hand. There's no way around that, you know.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, because I've been thinking about doing this, so I'm just going to bounce this off of you.
Sure.
So last night I had another tiebreaker. Lately, I've had a few more tiebreakers. Generally, I make my point variance so wide to try and keep from getting ties.
Yeah. It's a bit of a buzzkill.
It can be exciting.
Yeah.
And I think that there is some excitement and fun to it, but you don't want to have it every round.
Right.
It kind of kills your flow.
Right.
So last night I had another one, first mm-hmm. round, and the team that won, I thought afterwards, I was like, should I give them extra points for winning the tiebreaker? Because mm-hmm. I've never done that. So when two teams tie, one team wins with a tiebreaker, but no extra points are awarded.
Yeah.
I don't give them 2, 3, 4 points or anything. Their points remain tied. They just get the gift. They mm-hmm. just get the prize. Do you, when you do tiebreakers, do you award points to the team that wins?
I used to before I had the bonus points, you know, I give out the bonus points per round. That will usually give enough variation in the final leaderboard that even if two teams tie for a particular round, there's still going to be a team in first probably, unless sometimes you'll have an occasion where both teams that are in a tie will get all of the bonus points right and you have a true tie on your hands. But the bonus points I only add to the final score, not to the individual round scores that determine the per round prizes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I do not give additional points for the tiebreakers anymore. You get the prize. But if I didn't have those bonus points, I used to give an additional point to the winning
team.
Just
1 point?
Just one. Just to kind of, you know, give some advantage.
Yeah, I think I might start doing that.
Just to give an advantage, because it's like you earned it, you know?
Right, yeah. Because I try to make it an easy question, because, you know, we've never really talked about tiebreakers, I guess. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's funny, because you never want to make the tiebreaker a hard question. because then you have both people just standing there looking at each other, which we've had that happen at yours. Not that it was necessarily a hard question, but it would just happen to be something that neither of us really knew.
Yeah. You kind of have to stereotype as a host, like, what is in the knowledge base of these two people that seems equitable?
Yeah. Or, I mean, even something just, what's the capital of Florida? Just, it's more based off of who is cocksure enough to raise their hand.
If you're going something, yeah, that easy for Floridians, like, we would know that very quickly. Right. Yeah.
Or what's the capital of California? You know, like, something that's, like, general knowledge for your, like, usual run-of-the-mill trivia person.
Yeah.
And so, I was figuring, well, it's probably, whatever question I asked, probably, a three-point question.
Yeah.
In my world. So I was like, maybe I should just start throwing people 3 points if they win the tiebreaker to make it so they actually have more points and there's a reason to, like, give them this prize. So.
Right. It's tough because if you're in a tiebreaker, you're probably from a high-performing team, you know? So to go too easy, like Fletcher was involved in a tiebreaker once when I asked about what the body's natural reaction to smelling black pepper is. And the answer was sneeze. And he was like, that's so easy that it angers me, like, that you asked it, you know, like,
right.
It's barely trivia was his point. So I don't know. I try to get something that's, like, easy, like, what candy did E.T. like in the movie E.T.? That is, like, a very common knowledge movies question.
Reese's Pieces.
That's right. That's right. But this week, Fletcher and Max from the Moist Men, before you arrived at our Monday Night Trivia at Three Pepper, they were involved in a tiebreaker against each other. And knowing a little bit about the knowledge base of these guys, I feel like I was able to ask a really difficult tiebreaker question. Fletcher got it right. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
In Cockney slang. So first I verified you guys both understand the concept of Cockney slang. It's in a lot of movies and stuff like that. Yeah. And if you're not aware of it, I'll tell you right now so you can play along. It's basically replacing a word with a rhyming word that makes no sense. You're replacing it with a rhyming word in order to, this was used in Cockney England to try and sort out outsiders that were coming to town. Like, if they wouldn't understand your local slang, you would know that they were, you know, from other parts of the world or something like that. So the question that I asked was, in Cockney slang, what Mark Twain character would you use at an ATM?
Man. And this was your tiebreaker?
Mm-hmm. And Fletcher got it in about 4 seconds, I want to say. Maybe less.
I don't know.
Pin. Huckleberry Finn, right?
I was thinking card. I was trying to think of something that like went with debit card or
I see.
Card.
I see. Yeah. Well, I'm really excited to ask you some more questions, but first let's do our weekly wrap up.
Yeah.
First, at number 3 last Thursday, Go Pug Yourself won the evening with 76 points. Then on Monday, it was Moist World Order, MWO, who took the victory with a final score of 102 points. And then on Wednesday night, it was the Hideaways that won, earning, I think, 49 points from a low-scoring night that night at Bury Me Brewing. How'd your teams do on Wednesday at Nice Guys Pizza, Mark?
They did good. We actually had a sweep, Jar Jar Binks Abortion, which is Alex and a couple of other hard-hitting people that used to come out to Nice Guys all the time. Mm-hmm. They've been absent as of late, but
My Peanut the Dog team. Haven't seen them in a while over there either.
Yeah, they've been on the low, I guess, out fishing or whatever. So they came in and swept. They won the tiebreaker in the first round, in which they faced off against Jamie's team, which was, I can't even remember.
Wow, an unremarkable team name.
No.
Jar Jar Binks Abortion just came through and
the curious case of Benjamin's butthole.
Is that from that new Michael Jackson documentary?
Probably. But yeah, so they came in and swept and won the night with 90 points.
All right. Well, congratulations to Jar Jar Binks Abortion. Congratulations on your victory and also becoming legalized recently in the state of New York. If you missed our trivia and you want to come out and try some of our trivia live, you can join us at Three Pepper Burrito Company for a regular Monday night trivia on March 18th. We'll be at Bury Me Brewing Company on March 20th. could see Mark on that night right afterwards at Nice Guys. And on Thursday, March 21st, we'll be at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida. For more information about all of our live events, you can find us online at nononsensetrivia.com. They're all free to play. You can win various prizes. Join us.
Won't you? See, that time I went high and you went low. Mm-hmm. We just knew. We're in sync like that. Also, real quick, I was talking to Alex. Apparently, there is a trivia run at another local bar that I will not name.
Do not name them on this podcast.
And it is, I think it may be kind of like a big run trivia thing where it's like, you know,
part of a,
one of those.
One of those international trivia firms.
It seems like something like that. And
big corporate gig.
And they said, you know, well, you can make your team name whatever you want. So they named their team Jar Jar Binks Abortion. And they refused to say abortion. They just said Jar Jar Binks. So they just made it more and more graphic to the point where they said stuff that I will not say on this podcast.
Yeah.
They used very, very bad words and just to like get at them.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, I understand that. Like, there are definitely venues that I would not read that team name out at.
Yeah, but if you're going to say that you can make your, like, at Nice Guys, I don't think there's ever been, there was actually one team name that I think Greg asked me not to say.
Yeah.
After I may have said it the first time, but I think it was something, it wasn't something, like, terrible. It was related to maybe, I want to say Donald Trump. Or something. And he was like, and I was like, hey, dude, like, you know, it's all or nothing.
It's it depends on the venue. And there's venues that people have asked me that, like Jamie's asked me that about, you know, Three Pepper. And that is a walk-in fast service dining establishment. So, I, you know, you just explained in that moment, like, you know, be reasonable here.
Well, I agree with you. Yeah. Exactly.
But Nice Guys.
If you're saying to somebody, you can name your team whatever you want, then stick to it.
Right.
But, you know, the fact that, you know, you as the quizmaster, you're setting the rules.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you say you can make your team name whatever you want, then you've got to stick to it. If you know that you're in the kind of place where you can't have that, then don't tell people that.
Well, don't tell people that, but I'm going to say the quizmaster is the final say. I mean, if something comes up and you're like, oh, shit, I was not aware that this was going to be a possibility.
Well, when you say you know, make your team name whatever you want it to be, then that you should know that's a possibility.
It's a bit naive. It's a bit naive. Yeah. 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 I will tell you a side story is I heard that somebody that came to your trivia was they asked at one of my venues, is it the same flavor as like Nice Guys? Like, is it kind of like racy? And they were like, no, it's a little different. It's a different vibe. Like, Mark and Lee have different hosting vibes. And they seemed legitimately disappointed. Oh. And they did not come to trivia.
Oh, no.
This week. Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
But, you know, it's to each their own. You know, some people are going to enjoy, you know, the rough comedic nature of edgy jokes.
For sure.
And
I mean, I am very, very, I'm very hard on people. And people like it. As a matter of fact, looking at the questions from last week, I'm going to be asking you, we had a team that cheated in the first round.
Oh, boy.
Seth has been coming to my trivia, and I had seen it, and then I heard, Mark! And I look up, and I see, like, these people, like, they're older people.
Yeah.
And so we got to, like, question 4 or 5, and I was like, just a reminder, you cannot use your cell phone to look up answers during the rounds. And one of them was like, you can't? And I was like, I said that in the beginning, and what trivia where has it where you can just look up answers, especially like looking up answers could maybe be interesting if like there was like a time thing where it's like
you have 10 seconds.
You got. Yeah, exactly. You got X amount of time. Whoever gets their answer to me first. Kind of like if you've ever done like Buzz Time trivia.
Yeah,
where exactly. It's got a question. And it's like you get from 1,000 points to 0 points and it's on a time scale.
Right.
So it's like if you get me your answer within 10 seconds, you're going to get 8 points. Within 20 seconds, you'll get 6 with, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that would be a giant pain in the fucking ass, though.
Or but, you could try and write unresearchable questions, but good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, don't.
New ones of that every
fuck
week.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like they gave me their answer sheet, and they even had some of them wrong somehow, but they left before the round was even done.
Shame.
Yeah. They
Shame.
Yeah. They've all been shamed.
Yeah.
I think every team that's tried to cheat has gotten shamed. I had two girls that I think we talked about before that were with someone who cheated, and then they left and didn't come back for like 2 or 3 weeks. They just started coming back again. And I finally said something to them about it. I was like, oh, I'm glad you're not bringing your friend anymore. They're like, we were really embarrassed. We're really sorry about that. And I was like, it's okay. Like, it wasn't you guys. Just know that, like,
that's good.
That's not going to fucking fly here.
Good, good. I'm glad you feel embarrassed. Now you'll follow the rules. Just like I make all of them follow the rules. All right. Let's take a little break, and then we'll come back and jump right into some trivia.
Sounds good.
All right, let's hop right into this trivia, shall we?
Let's do it. Let's go ahead and have you go first today.
All right, here is a science question for you.
Nah, fuck you.
Hey, just trying to please Josh, you know, I got to give one back for the sidecar recommendation. Okay. Not that he recommended it, it was just a question, but
yeah.
I'm taking it as a recommendation.
Okay.
That's how I'm taking it. In the field of artificial intelligence, what does the acronym ML stand for?
Artificial intelligence, ML.
Mm-hmm.
I asked a question about artificial intelligence last night.
Interesting.
Or robots, ooh. I guess, more specifically. ML.
Yep.
Artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
This category was suggested by a team. I've been issuing out category request sheets at the end of each of my trivia, and I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to start molding the trivia at each venue around the interests of the players themselves.
You go so far above and beyond.
I love, dude, this is like the D&D Dungeon Master influence, like playing D&D and like creating a world for your players to inhabit, and Not like a fantasy world, but like a rule system.
That's so interesting because I never wanted to be DM.
Yeah.
I only wanted to play.
Mm-hmm. You were just DM by necessity.
Which is weird because my personality is very DM-ish, mm-hmm. I feel like. Like, I'm a manager.
You're a quizmaster.
Yeah. But like
you run games weekly.
But I'm mostly like I'm a player who wants to make a game the way I'd want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I feel kind of like my managing style is I try to make a store that I would want to work in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, so like I don't know. It's kind of like I'm a quizmaster by default, not because like because I want to write the rules. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I just try and do the best I can with what I've got.
Well, if you heard like, hey, this trivia night is based entirely on the suggestions of like the players, the topic categories of the players that go there, wouldn't you think that's interesting? Like,
I do think that's interesting.
It's going to be mixed in.
I'm not saying
know?
It's bad.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
not,
yeah.
I mean, but you like that's just like so much work. Like, it's awesome.
I'm just saying I understand I want to make the trivia that I want to play. And I just think that would be like a cool feature, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways,
ML.
Yeah.
Artificial intelligence. In the world of artificial intelligence, what does ML stand for? Mm-hmm. See, this is one of those things to kind of tie into last week
mm-hmm.
that if this was multiple choice.
Yeah.
How many words begin with fucking M? How many words begin with L?
Pretty big.
Like, right now, the fucking field is so wide. If you were like, it's one of these four, holy shit. I would be standing in much better position than I am right now.
I think about half the teams got it right on the
really?
Night that asked. Yeah.
Now I feel even dumber. I don't know. Mind lapse. I have no idea.
Memory link was the answer that the Hideaways gave that was wrong. The correct answer is machine learning. about to be a big field in the computer sciences. That will be like a job, like, or thing, something that people study. They are studying it right now.
Huh.
But that's a developing area in artificial intelligence. You know, concept of artificial intelligence goes back way, way far. Like, some people even say, like, Frankenstein, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein is like a story about artificial intelligence.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but machine learning is what people refer to now as, like, this is what AI is. When people are talking about AI, they're really talking about machine learning. Not like the AI in the video game of GoldenEye from the Nintendo 64, which is technically an AI.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and stick with, I don't know, sciencey, nerdy stuff. In internet terms, what does URL stand for? Ooh.
URL. Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed that I don't know this instantly. URL. Well, the URL is another word for the web address. Or the address, I should just say.
Good.
The web address.
Good.
Happy birthday. Happy 30th Thanks. Birthday to the World Wide Web, right?
Yeah.
Created by who? Do you remember this man's name?
Some British guy.
I remember it.
Of course you do. You asked the question.
Tim Berners-Lee.
Tim Berners-Lee. That mm-hmm. was it. I knew there was a hyphenated last name. Did you see the picture I put on Instagram saying happy belated birthday to the internet?
No, I didn't.
It's like, you may have seen it on my phone earlier. It's Angela Lansbury wearing the virtual reality stuff.
From Murder, She Wrote?
Best image in the world.
Yeah. Yep. URL. Something, location, uniform recall location is my guess.
Uniform resource locator.
Ooh, all right. Resource locator. I like that. That's better than recall. Like total
whoever,
recall.
Whoever made that up.
Good job.
They did good.
Yeah, you picked the right words for that URL acronym. All right. Sorry, what was it again? I've already forgotten.
Uniform resource locator. Great, never forget that. Hey, what was it?
Uniform resource locator. These web pages and apps are resources.
Yes.
They need a uniform method in order to locate them.
Indeed.
The uniform resource locator. Thank you.
There's a guy who's walking with a balloon, and there's a bee and borium.
Beryllium.
Beryllium.
Yeah.
Now borium. You got it.
Yeah. All right. Second category, this is a language and Bible question. Question from the Bible.
I love the Bible.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Named after a figure from the Bible, what is the term for someone who refuses to believe something before experiencing itself for themselves firsthand?
So someone who needs to experience something firsthand.
Yep. And it's named after a figure from the Bible. The term is named after them.
I'm having trouble even thinking of what you would call someone who needs to experience something firsthand. An asshole. Annoying.
That's probably what people would, I don't know anybody under the age of 70 that probably uses this term, but it is a term that you're familiar with. I guarantee you've heard this before.
You said that before, though, and it was something
I have,
that I hadn't.
But this time, I'm double guaranteeing.
Okay. Does the person in the Bible, is it because the story of the person in the Bible didn't believe something?
Yep. They did not believe. This is going to be qualified as a hint, categorized as a hint here, but they did not believe that Jesus had been resurrected. And they needed to see the wounds and stuff for themselves.
Okay, so that's what I was thinking is, is it Doubting Thomas?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, a Doubting Thomas.
You know, okay, so that's really funny because I was thinking Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what term? I was thinking a Thomason or something like that. You know what I mean?
I like that better. It's quicker.
Okay.
It's more efficient, Thomas. Like Tim Apple. It's just efficient with your words. A Thomason.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, Bill Windows. It's all Billy Windows.
I'm not affiliated with Microsoft anymore.
Jesus.
Shut up, Billy Christ. Windows.
How embarrassing. Here's your second question.
Yeah.
Cardinal George Pell who hails from what country, became the highest ranking member of the Catholic Church to be convicted of child sexual abuse?
Pell?
George Pell.
George Pell? What country?
Yep.
A cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Those are some rapid fire questions. Pell? George Pell? A cardinal. From what country?
It's like a That's 19, what you want to know.
It's like a 1940s newspaper man.
Yeah. Pell. P-E-L. George. His name's George?
George Pell.
G-E-O-R-G-E.
P-E-L-L, yes.
Two L's.
Two L's, uh-oh. This is going to count as a hint.
Oh, two L's. All right, so George Pell sounds like an Anglo name. Anglonym. Pell, P-E-L.
P-E-L-L.
Catholic. It's not Italian. Ireland? Ireland.
The correct answer is Australia.
Australia. Fuck. That makes so much more sense now. I don't know why I said Ireland.
And it's pretty funny. A friend of mine that lives in Australia had told me about the whole George Pell thing before it really hit national news.
Oh.
I think he had left Australia and like was, I think, and I could be completely wrong here, but I think he was like kind of forced back. And, there's a comedian slash musician named Tim Minchin, who's Australian. He's kind of big, I guess, worldwide.
Name sounds familiar.
He's pretty funny. He's kind of like an Australian Eddie Izzard meets Bobcat Goldthwait.
Okay.
Sort of.
Interesting combination.
Yeah. He's really, really, really funny, but he put out a song shitting all over George Pell. Mm. And, like, I guess the... I think the government made it so he couldn't say certain things
in the song.
Yeah. Like you can't say certain things about George Pell because he was such a huge figure.
Mm.
And so he made this song kind of like getting around it and like kind of making fun of it. And it raised all of this money that was put toward, I think, like children who were abused or something like that. Really, really interesting.
That's a good way to use your talents.
Yeah. We should find the video and put it in the show notes. It's really, really good.
Absolutely. All right. I've got a music question for you.
Let's do it.
According to the various songs that he's written, who in country music can cry again, get off on you, still reach yesterday, but can't find the time, didn't sleep a wink, can't believe you're gone, should have kissed her more, and is going to lose a lot of teardrops? Who in country music,
jeez,
according to the various songs that he's written, can cry again, get off on you, and still reach yesterday, but can't find the time, didn't sleep a wink, can't believe you're gone, should have kissed her more, and is going to lose a lot of teardrops. Those are all song titles with the word I removed from them.
Got it.
Yeah.
I have a feeling Seth knows this immediately, and I don't.
This would be a good round for him.
Never have I felt like I was given so many clues, but was still so clueless.
Yeah. Hmm.
Get off on you. Jesus.
Right?
Come on.
Saucy. He can do a lot of things, but he can't do a lot of things. He can't get over you. He can't. Didn't sleep a wink. Can't believe you're gone.
I can't believe you're gone.
But he can still reach yesterday.
Thank God. I'm just going to guess Waylon Jennings. Is it newer country?
No, it's not.
No.
But you went, wuh, and I was like, is he going to say Willie Nelson? Because that's the answer. Yep. Good guess. You got closer than many people who answered things like George Strait.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And Conway Twitty.
Well, somebody I mean, it could be Conway any Twitty. Of those guys. You know what I mean? There was actually a really interesting like mini documentary that Fletcher and Kristen, two of our Patreon.
Our team captains.
Team captains. Sent me about his guitar Trigger that he's played since forever. This has got a giant hole in the body that he gets repaired in a certain place in Austin, Texas by the same guy every year. He brings it there to get looked at and touched up.
Now mind the hole.
And like he goes there and they talk about like, you know, the guy talks about how hard it is to work on it and how, you know, he's almost lost it. He's like, I think he had two fire like houses that caught on fire that he's had someone like go in and one of them he says, go in there. He's got a, to get Trigger and a pound of weed he had stashed somewhere. And like the guy like saved those two things and he lost everything else.
God's trying to steal Willie Nelson's weed.
Seriously. And his guitar. All right. Here is your third and last question of the first round. Released. Here's a music question for you in kind. Released in 2005, Mother Love was the last song released with vocals from what singer?
1995?
2005. Released in 2005. Oh, shit. Mother Love was the last song released with vocals from what singer?
2005. Mother Love. Mother Love. I can't tell if it's like a song about a mother's tender love or like a safe way of saying motherfucker.
Mother Lover.
2005. Did you specify a gender?
No.
You just said singer?
Yes.
Singer. Is Robbie Williams still alive?
Yeah,
singer Robbie Williams? Yeah. Okay.
I
don't know why his name came to my mind. Followed up
with singer Robbie Williams. I'm not talking about another Robbie Williams. I'm talking about the singer Robbie Williams.
Okay. Yeah. I just couldn't remember. His name. I don't know why his name popped in my head first, but 2005. I seem to remember Amy Winehouse dying around that time. That's who I'm going to go with.
The correct answer was someone who died actually a while ago. The correct answer is Freddie Mercury.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
They had some, kind of like the Beatles thing with John Lennon, how they did
Loose
Free as a Bird.
Stems floating around there in the wild.
Where they had, something that he had recorded and they, used that in a song.
Mother Love. All right, let's go ahead and take another little break and we'll be back in round two with some more trivia questions. Before we get into our second round, we want to thank our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Big thanks to our one and only quiz daddy, Tim, from Pat's Garden Service.
Thank you,
San Diego, California.
Bless you.
Thanks also to our team captains, Kristen and Fletcher. Thanks for all the support, write-ins, everything you guys contribute to the show. Thank you so much.
Fletcher was going to try and find a missed correction because he sent so many in lately.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we were just too perfect last episode.
He missed the Louisiana one, though.
Oh, that's true. Well,
Mike's got one on him.
I think he knew. He understands me.
Thanks also to our newest proverbial lightkeeper. Adding their support this week is Brina from Lawndale, California.
Thank you, Brina.
Thanks so much. Brina writes to us, thanks to you both for a great podcast. I look forward to the new episode every week. Thanks so much, Brina.
Thank you.
We appreciate your kind words. And
wait
your
until
support.
You get that hidden episode.
Mm-hmm. It's coming. It's coming.
We'll put up soon.
We'll put up soon. Thanks also to Carly, Christopher, and Quizmaster Josh from Tennessee, as well as all of our other proverbial lightkeepers, the Moist Men, Max and Lucas, Sean, Sherry, Gil. Thanks, guys. Thanks for keeping the lights on.
And we appreciate you all.
Yeah. Big thanks also to our Rumpelstiltskins, Mike C., Mike J., and newcomer Nick, our third Rumpelstiltskin. Thank you, Nick.
Fantastic.
Thanks, everybody, for your support. If you want to help keep the lights on around here, you can send us some support dollars via Patreon. Just go to thenono.com and click the support button. That'll take you right to our Patreon page. We will be putting up bonus content soon. I promise you that. I guarantee it. That's a double
guarantee.
Just
you wait.
Thanks again, everybody, for your support.
Yes.
Mark, you want to get us into round two here?
I would love to. Here's your first question of the second round. What is, or how would you write, 400 in Roman numerals? I used to love Roman numeral questions when I first started, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a fortnight would go by that I wouldn't ask you a question about how to write some shit in Roman numerals.
Yeah. So 100 years is C. So you think, oh, I'll just go C, 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 C. But you would not go I.
Right.
You would not do that. No. You would say IV. So what is the V of 500? Basically, what means 500 in Roman numerals? Is it M, I believe, is 1,000. So it's not M. So then there is an L. And a D? D would be... Maybe it's not D. Is there a D? There's got to be a D. I think I've seen a D in a Roman numeral before. 500. D, L. What the fuck do those stand for? L, D. C? C, L.
Larry
C,
David.
D. C, D, Rob. It's one of those. I think it's either C, L or C, D. Ugh. L. L is so rarely used. I feel like it's like above. I don't know. Maybe it's like 10,000 or it's, I don't know. I'm going to go with CD. CD is my final answer.
That's correct. L is actually 50.
Oh, okay. Whew. I'm glad you didn't ask me about 450. That would have been complicated. And thank you for picking something that I didn't have to remember a long string of Roman numerals.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
Relatively manageable mental
I would
question
have asked
there.
You something where it would have been yeah. like MCVXII. Like, I was not going to try and fuck with that.
Oh, yeah.
Good job.
Thanks, man. I thought I was like, fuck, there's something else I got to learn. I've already got on my list presidents and periodic table. That's like my big gaping knowledge holes for trivia. I need to do some self-development there in
there
those categories. And I need to brush up on my Roman numerals a little bit because I was sweating.
Just a hair.
There. Yeah. Here's your first question. This is a... question about a figure big in both the sports world as well as the business world.
Okay.
Skateboarder, snowboarder, motocross athlete, and co-founder of DC Shoes brand. What extreme sports athlete is currently a professional rally driver with Hoonigan Racing Division and is known for his popular drifting videos on YouTube?
No idea.
Really?
No idea.
These videos, Mark, they're getting 30, 50 million views a piece.
Great.
You know?
A lot of people buying Creed albums. Couldn't name you five Creed songs.
He drifts in front of a train, Mark.
Good.
He drifts in front of a moving train.
I'm sure that's very impressive. I mean, and it's good for him, but I don't know. One more time, skateboarder, snowboarder.
Motocross athlete and co-founder of DC Shoes.
What the fuck is that one guy's name?
What extreme sports athlete is currently a professional rally driver with Hoonigan Racing Division and is known for his popular drifting videos on YouTube? I don't want to overinflate this guy's importance. He is a part owner, I think, of Hoonigan Racing Division. So yeah. I think he's just taking that shoe money and I want to drive cars.
Who is the really famous young guy? Younger guy or was younger? Who is a snowboarder? That's just my guess. Is that it's
are you someone... talking about the ginger?
I don't know.
The ginger boy.
I don't think so, but maybe.
I think you are. He had this on video game.
Oh, maybe he did. Is that him?
It's not him.
Oh,
you're,
okay.
You're thinking of Shaun White.
That is. Well, that's my guess. Shaun White.
It's not. I just told you it's not him.
No, I know, but I don't know anybody else to guess. I'm, you know, I try to not get hints.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So. I hear you. The answer is Ken Block.
Never heard that
engine
name
block.
You
know?
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yep. So I don't know. I had some teams get that right too, which I didn't. I wasn't introduced to this figure until I looked up this trivia question. I've just been going out like exploring new territories with all these category suggestions.
It's awesome.
So it's very, very enlightening as a host. Anyway, you got another question for me?
Oh, boy, do I. A movies question. Gregory Peck, Robert Mitchum, and Martin Balsam had cameo roles in the 1991 remake of what 1962 film in which they starred? Gregory Peck, Robert Mitchum, and Martin Balsam all starred in this movie in 1962 and had cameo roles in the remake, which was made in 1991.
I think I know this. I might know this. It's probably wrong though. But I'm just gonna say my experience with those actors is not great. I don't even recognize the third one. But I vaguely remember being a kid and a movie coming out, and maybe my mom, one of my parents, saying, "Oh, that's really interesting. It's Gregory Peck, and he's playing, you know, in this thing that he was in, like, back in the day." And I believe that that movie, and this would make sense with my personal timeline, would be an adaptation of Moby Dick. So that's going to be my guess.
The correct answer is Cape Fear.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that that was a remake.
Yep.
That's the one with Robert De Niro, right?
Robert the Money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Moby Dick, Cape Fear, both have water. I'm giving myself a point for that.
That's the biggest pitch of all time.
That's a technically correct answer, Mark. All right. Let me give you a second question. This is a bit of a world history geography for you. What M country was previously known as Burma? What M country was previously known as Burma?
Oh, boy. I feel like I know it. I feel like I have the answer, but I'm afraid it's wrong. And I'm afraid I'm going to be embarrassed by guessing this country.
I've been there, man.
I'm going to say Malaysia.
It's not Malaysia.
Fuck!
It is.
Don't tell me.
Okay. Do you want some geographic hints?
Oh, it won't help me at all. I'm terrible with geography.
I might offer them for our players at home.
Okay, please.
This country is located in between Thailand and India.
So I wasn't terribly off with Malaysia.
You weren't terribly off, but you weren't right. This is a Southeast Asian nation.
Burma became Micronesia. I don't know.
You're getting closer, but still no. Myanmar.
Oh, Myanmar. Fuck.
Yep. The Union of Myanmar.
Goddamn Myanmar.
It's all right. You can get me back with this next one.
Let me get you back with this next one. Operation Dynamo was the code name given to the evacuation of what northern France town in World War II?
Northern France town. The time I've spent looking at a map of France has been very limited.
Same.
The amount of time it's been since I've studied World War II history has been vast.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
You haven't listened to Hardcore History with Dan Carlin lately?
It's been a few years. But the count is that the Countdown to Armageddon? Is that the title of the World War? Fantastic. Yeah. You know.
Very dense.
You got a road trip ahead of you? Put that baby on. That's all you need. It's like 14 hours.
I don't think I could. It's too dense for me.
I did it. It was good. Well, Normandy is in the south. I know that. Paris seems centrally located in my mind.
In my mind's eye.
Can I get some multiple choice, please?
No.
This one's easier than Myanmar, and I can't. Is it Paris? I don't know. I can't think of another French city right now or town.
The correct answer. So embarrassing. The answer I was looking for is Dunkirk.
Oh, I should have seen that movie.
Yeah.
I would have known that.
There you go.
If I would have seen. I'm so behind on movies right now. That does look good. And I'm equally embarrassed I haven't seen that.
Have you seen Captain Marvel?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll talk later.
Yeah.
We'll talk later. All right. Here's your third question, Mark.
Okay. Question mark.
That should be your new quiz name.
I used to get that all the time. No, it should not be.
My name is question mark. If you ever get trivia-based superpowers, dude, come on.
Okay, yeah, if that ever happens.
Riddler? Is this the Riddler?
What would be my trivia-based superpower?
I don't know. It's probably similar to the powers you got.
You can just forget things.
You can recall Myanmar very quickly. Your third question, Mark. The category is from The Office. The question, did you watch The Office?
Yeah.
How many times through?
I haven't even finished the first watch through.
Oh, really?
I'm in season 5.
I think you have a chance of knowing this then.
Okay.
On the NBC sitcom The Office, what is the name of boss Michael Scott's secret agent alter ego?
Nope.
Do you remember the episode where they find the script? And they do a read through of his secret agent script?
Yeah, I think so. How many times have you seen The Office?
At least 3 times through.
Jesus Christ!
I think that's normal. I know
Marissa, who listens to our podcast, is a huge fan of the show.
I've seen it 3 times.
Like 5 or 6.
I've seen it 3 times through, and I consider myself a casual fan.
It's nuts to me how much people like that show. I mean, it's a funny show. To be honest with you, and I'm probably going to catch a lot of flack for this, and not that everything needs to be compared or whatever, Parks and Rec is a better show. Oh, wow.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's true.
We're going to talk about that off the air.
Okay.
It's fine. No, that's fine for you. Oh,
the name of the... I don't know.
Michael Scott's secret agent alter ego.
Skykel Mott. I have no idea.
You're kind of close. It's not a spoonerism. It is Michael Scarn. Agent Michael Scarn.
I did see that.
Yeah. And what I love about that joke is it's like whoever wrote that name, it truly inhabits the mind of a lame individual.
Yeah.
Like that would think that's cool. It's so perfect because it's like, I would just be a little cooler if my name had Scar in it or, you know.
Right.
If I could just be slightly not myself, but still myself, you know.
Yeah,
that kind
yeah.
of delusions of grandeur. Perfect name, character name.
It really is.
So that's my third question.
I had heard a really funny story about, it's probably not even worth trying to like thing to drum up, but it was a woman who, her name was, this was it. Her name is Joan Quigley. And she was the, she was an astrologer for Nancy and Ronald Reagan that I guess was like kept hidden. And she had so much pull. This is from Behind the Bastards. Really, really great podcast. I can't recommend it enough. And she had so much clout that she would decide when Air Force One took off and landed based on astrology maps of Ronald Reagan or Nancy Reagan or who they were going to talk to. If they were going to talk to, like, you know, Muammar Gaddafi or something, she would like bring up his astrological chart and be like, this is the moment he'll be weakest. We need to land exactly at this time. And Air Force One would circle around waiting for this time to land.
Wow.
Isn't that nuts? So she was given, her and Nancy Reagan were talking over a phone line and they were like, you need to have like a top secret name so they don't know it's you. The name she chose was Joan Frisco because she's from San Francisco. She just fucking same first name, just throw Frisco on the end of it. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, it's a lateral move from Quigley to Frisco.
Really? Seriously?
Hilarious. Maybe that's where they got the idea.
Yeah, probably.
There's also another name later on the show. I guess they do this a couple times on The Office because there's Robert California, too.
Oh.
That's not his name. His real name.
Amazing.
But similar. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, that's our round number 2. Fascinating. Yeah. What's the name of that podcast again you heard that on?
Behind the Bastards.
Oh, man. That sounds great.
It's really, really, really good. It reminds me vaguely of Profiles of Eccentricity, but it's less, like, gross. Mm-hmm. It's more, like, factual.
Gotcha.
But yeah, very, very good.
Wow. All right. I'll check that out. Okay. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with our best worst answers and some more trivia in round 3. a nice short little break. And
I feel rejuvenated.
Yeah. We're going to do some best worst answers now. Let's do that little theme. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba.
Best worst answers.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Our best worst answers for this week. The question was, on the television series Sons of Anarchy, what does the acronym Sam Crow stand for? Do you remember the answer to this?
I've never seen an episode of Sons of Anarchy.
Me neither. But really? It is a requested category, so I read up on it a little bit.
S-A-M-C-R-O.
Yeah.
San Antonio.
No.
Santa Anna.
No. How about Sons of Anarchy?
Oh, yeah.
Motorcycle Club. Redwood Original. That is the correct answer. The Dundies, ironically, since we just had an office question, yep. They wrote down, stop anal massaging crazy rectal orifices.
Okay. Good guess.
Maybe we would have gone with stop anal massaging crusty rectal orifices. Oof. I mean, I don't know. That's a reason to stop right there. Stop. Otherwise, go forth, I say.
Go forth.
Who was born in 1931 and was the longtime head of media organizations Fox TV and the New York Post? Oh, you know this one.
See, I don't, though. I do, but I don't.
You do.
Can I have the first initials?
Got an R.M.
Rupert Murdoch.
Right, right. Massholes wrote down, though, Bill Ayers. It's like the opposite of Rupert Murdoch.
Right.
Like, what? Fox TV, the New York Post, Bill Ayers? Oh, man. Question, what Disney character's name roughly translates to child in Italian? Had a couple teams write down... Do you know the answer to this?
No.
Had a couple teams write down Nemo, but that is not Italian. That's from the Jules Verne novel.
Wait, you asked this Monday at Trivia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was like half thinking, like, Monday I got a new phone, which is why I was late to your trivia, mm-hmm. and I was like futzing around with that and transferring data. And
stuff. I was going to yell at you, but then I realized it's all like set up on your screen.
Yeah. There was like there was nothing I could do.
You couldn't access the internet if you tried.
Yeah. I was in the woods. What the hell was the answer? It was Jamie knew it. I can't remember.
Well, it's not Nemo.
No.
Which many teams wrote down.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Captain Nemo.
Was it Pumbaa?
Nope, that was a different answer for a different question. Many teams also wrote down Pinocchio, including Seth and the Dundies, but you know Pinocchio does not stand for child in Italian. What does it stand for?
Pinehead?
Yes, Pinehead. The answer that I was looking for would be Bambi.
Bambino. Yeah.
Bambi, yep. Mm. And closing it out, the best worst answers. Moist team has had a questionable... few answers past couple weeks. What was Capote's movie twin that was released in 2006? So this is a movie that came out the same time period about the same subject. Those are movie twins.
By the way, Capote, mm-hmm. one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that actor.
Philip Seymour Hoffman,
one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, he's great in that.
So good.
And in the movie, it is Toby Jones that plays Truman Capote. In Infamous, but Moist Team wrote down Milk about Harvey Milk.
Wow.
Like, the movie is called Capote.
Right.
So did you think Milk was about Capote? I don't get it. And then the other, they're just messing with me, I guess, because the other thing that I asked, who was the singer of the R&B group The Valentinos and also played lead guitar for Sam Cooke? The answer would be Bobby Womack, but Moist Team wrote down Bobby Wombat. Like, how do you get... And they said that we just totally guessed.
Wow.
How do you guess that? It's so close.
That is
freakishly
freaky.
Close.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it. Anyways, those are our best worst answers for the week.
Fantastic.
Thanks for listening along.
Yeah.
All right. We've got our final questions now, right?
So, I've got a question for you, but I feel like it's going to be a toughie.
Yeah. Well, let me go first.
Okay.
Because I saved a toughie for you. In fact, it's so tough, I'm going to offer you the option of two hints. After you hear the
question.
Did
anybody get this?
I think maybe one team got it right. Yeah.
Tall order.
Yeah. But it is, I think our listeners, I think there's going to be people of all types getting it right, wrong, and everywhere in between. Let's see how you do. The category is...
Centering myself.
Saturday Night Live cast members.
I want a donut.
I ain't got one for you. I got a question.
Okay. That'll do.
I'm going to try and make it sweet, though, for you.
Okay.
All right. What featured cast member on Saturday Night Live was the first to serve two multi-season tenures on the show with a gap in between? So, you know, this is a rare occurrence on Saturday Night Live for a featured cast member to leave and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the first to do it?
Eddie Murphy?
No, it's not Eddie Murphy.
All right, give me a clue. That wasn't the guy I was thinking of, but then I thought of Eddie Murphy.
I think he was on very shortly, just like two seasons or something like that.
Yeah, I knew that. And I thought that maybe he came back for a little bit. Okay. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people wrote down Steve Martin, which not a cast member, just a frequent host.
Right.
Really. The tenures were first from 1977 to 1980, then again from 1988 to 1995. And I will add that this individual came back for one season in between and then left again. But they're still the first person to leave and then come back.
1977
to 1980. Uh-huh. And then again from 1988 to 1995.
Daryl Hammond?
No. Daryl Hammond, as far as I know, was totally consecutive. Straight run through 14 seasons or something, 13 or 14 seasons. Before Kenan Thompson, I believe Daryl Hammond was the longest tenured cast member. Yeah. Here's your second hint. This individual was also a writer for the show.
And you think that's what's going to make me get it, huh?
1977 to 1980, then 88 to 95.
Who's the guy who did the ambiguously gay duo? But he wasn't featured. It's not him, is it?
No, I think that's Robert Spiegel.
Yeah. I give up. I know I'm going to be so pissed when you fucking tell me this person's fucking name.
It is disgraced U.S. Senator Al Franken.
Fucking Christ.
Hey, man. It's all right. Don't be so hard on yourself. At least he didn't say Steve Martin.
I should have fucking known that. God damn.
Yeah, you should have. But that's besides the point. You got a question for me?
I do.
All right.
How many countries begin with the letter J?
How many countries begin with the letter J? Gosh. I'm having trouble thinking of one. Just going over a mental map in my mind right now. North America, South America, Africa. A lot of countries in Africa. A lot of countries everywhere, really. Europe. The only, man, there's like one that's coming to mind that I think is a city, but I'm not sure. And I don't know where it is on the map, so I can't even like picture what it looks like. And that would be Jakarta, which I think is a city. Japan. There's one. Jesus. Oh, man. So many times I almost already gave up on this question and forgot about Japan. Is Japan the only one? It might be. That would make for an interesting trivia question, for sure. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to say one.
Japan.
All right.
Jamaica.
Oh, shit.
Jordan. Three.
Oh.
Japan. Yes. Jamaica. Fuck me.
I forgot. Oh, man. So embarrassing. Well, we've both embarrassed each other sufficiently, I would say. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, that's why I was like, well, guess what, fucker?
Yep, let's hang our head in shame, and we'll close out this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. You have any thoughts you'd like to say? I'm just going to issue an apology for myself and my idiocy on this episode.
I feel like Jamie did when he was here. Mm-hmm. Just the opposite of what we refer to as a Slumdog Millionaire night.
Yeah. I feel like this is a decent episode, though. It's just we didn't do that good on it.
And I'm sure it's fun for people to hear us be idiots.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure it's enjoyable to be like, what the hell? Why are you not smarter?
As one of our reviews put it, we put on no airs.
Yeah, absolutely not.
We're just quiz masters. We're not geniuses, savants, anything along those lines. No. Just a couple guys who like
put on pants just like you guys.
Yep. One leg on our head at a time. All right. If you would like to leave us a review, please do so. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. I don't know if Spotify does reviews, but anywhere you could leave a review for us would certainly help. And also support the podcast via Patreon. Just go to thenono.com, click the support link at the top. And of course, we're all over social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non-Triv. Please leave those reviews for us. Please, it's been a while. I check the reviews like every morning. I wake up and I crack my knuckles, open up my browser and go, time to read the new reviews. And, you know, it's been a lonely month. That's all I'm saying. All right. Catch us again next Monday, listeners, and cut us some fucking slack. Seriously. All right? Cut us some slack. And don't forget to leave us a review. 5 stars, please.
Only.